The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Bring on the weird.
Elijah, are you ready to bring on the weird?
Oh, faux show. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. It's going to get crazy.
This is a weird one. I mean, most of them are weird.
That's the idea.
What are you drinking?
I, my good man, have my handy-dandy fist of peach Jim Beam. Got my big ice sphere floating in it.
Some would call that a ball. Others would say it's flat.
Ice ball. That's what they need to do. Don't they? I wonder if they have any of those. Flat earthers? Have any flat cubes?
Flat cubes?
Flat cubes. Flat ice? Flat earth ice maker?
Yeah, sure.
Flat earth ice mold. Wow. This is how the episode's going to go. We're going to have to just concentrate and reward.
Look, I'm not even going to bash flat earthers because I'm almost on their side, bro.
Oof. Almost.
I'm pretty damn close.
There's flat earthers all around the world.
Is that a pun? Is that a joke?
A little bit. Just a little bit. What are you drinking, my good man?
Well, I'm having my handy-dandy Dogfish Head 60-minute IPA.
Mm-hmm. One of these days, we'll try that 120.
Well, we need people to start giving us some money on Patreon.
And then we'll try that 120. Patreon.com/BringOnTheWeird. Couple bucks.
Yeah.
Get you episodes without ads.
Get you the Monday episode early.
Oh, yeah.
This episode, you could have been listening to tomorrow. Or yesterday, I mean.
I love time travel. I can't believe I'm going to do that thing yesterday.
I know. You remember what we did last week? Next week? Damn it, I'm screwing this up. I can't wait to cut all this stuff out.
Nobody cuts this. This is the good stuff. All right. Well, we're kind of, I guess, picking up from last week's stuff with the Dumbs, the deep underground military bases. And we're diving right into a Dumb that is, it's not out of this world. It's into this world.
Oh, yeah. In this world, buddy.
And it is strange. I don't even, yeah. Are we going to start at the surface? Are we going to talk about how this place was discovered? Are we going to go down to that level where his yet-to-be-named self ended up there?
Well, I don't know. What do you have on that, on the beginning parts of it?
Of where he discovered, I think, didn't he pop into, like, level 3 or something?
Well,
when he was doing all his fun stuff?
Yeah, I guess we'll get into it. So, I guess we'll just say we're talking about Phil Schneider, and he was a geologist and an engineer for the government, and he was part of the Groom Lake crew. There's over 18,000 workers, and Phil Schneider, he carried a level 1 security clearance.
Level 1.
I looked up level 1 security clearance, like, what is that? Is it good? Is it, like, what is it? So a level 1 security clearance is non-sensitive. So basically, he probably had the same clearance as a janitor.
Nice.
Okay. He had a level 1 security clearance. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, how did I forget his name? The guy from S4. The guy who was saying aliens exist at Area 51.
Bob Lazar.
Yeah. They made it seem like he was a nothing, too.
It seemed like he knew quite a bit about quite a bit.
Yeah. But Mr. Schneider spent 17 years in black budget operations. For people who don't know, the black budget is part of the nation's budget allocated for classified or other secret projects. So he spent 17 years doing that stuff.
Secret projects.
It could be as simple as just secret technology for the military, or it could be Dumbs.
Well, I guess we could get into that. But he was active in the 80s. Or no, when... What years was he active for these particular, for this time, when he was doing all that stuff?
Well, when he began helping them, I guess, build. So I don't know how to get into that without getting way into it. You know what I mean? But it was like the 70s, I think. Late 70s.
Okay.
I guess when all this went down, his big fight? His ordeal?
Wasn't it? That was 79, wasn't it?
79, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Something happened. I don't think we're going to get into that quite yet.
No, not yet. He makes a bunch of claims. So I was listening to this speech. You can find his speech on YouTube. It was at the Preparedness Expo in May of 1995. And he claims there that there's 131 active. He specifies active. So he says there's 131 active deep underground military bases in the United States and 1,477 worldwide.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I would not think anything lurks under London, per se. But I guess maybe it does.
I don't know, dude. London, I could see London being part of some crazy stuff.
There's some stuff in Africa. We'll get into that some other time.
Oh. He claims that the majority of components used in black jets, black helicopters, and sometimes submarines, it's all alien technology.
What?
Yeah.
Submarines. Like, the early submarines were U-boats.
Yeah, the majority of components. Not all the components.
I swear there was some sort of U-boat type thing, like an underwater vehicle. I swear somebody said something about the Civil War. That they found something like that in Civil War times. That was like 1865, though.
Was that the human-powered one?
Yeah.
Where they kind of, like, they get in it, it's real small, and they kind of paddle it like a boat, or like a bike?
I think so. I think it was just in, like, a river or something that they ended up finding these guys.
I've seen it somewhere. Some TV show, I'm sure. Or maybe a YouTube video, I don't know. I watch so much shit, dude, I don't know.
It all blends together.
It all blends together.
Maybe it was in your dreams.
Maybe. He also says in his speech that the American government has known about aliens since 1909.
1909?
Yeah.
So you're telling me aliens are the ones that sunk the Titanic?
That's a whole other episode, buddy. The Titanic. We can't get into it here, because I got some stuff on the Titanic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
But according to Phil, now, I did look into this. I didn't find it anywhere. But according to Phil, the Army cavalry were chasing some bandits who were hiding in a cave. And when the Army went in, all right, here we get into some quotes. They found flying discs and little gray guys and all kinds of weird things. They didn't know how to explain, so they wrote them down as best as they could. And it's been in secret archives ever since. That was in 1909.
Whoa.
Yeah, so the Army cavalry chasing some bad guys. They ended up in a cave. Then they see these discs and little aliens.
That was at the future location of the Dulce base?
Yeah, it was in the southwest. I don't know if it was at that specific location, but that was in the southwest.
Are we calling it Dulce or are we calling it Dulce?
I think Dulce.
All right, we'll just keep going Dulce. Sounds good.
Yeah, if we change it up, just how we're feeling.
Because we're feeling... like we need some Girl Scout cookies. Dulce de leche.
We used to make that drink at Starbucks when I worked at Starbucks. It was actually a dulce de leche.
Is there a difference? Dulce, dulce, dulce.
Phil says they built 9 underground military bases there, like at Dulce.
What?
And they were the size of cities, roughly 4.25 cubic miles hollowed out underground. He says they were the size of cities. Then he says they were 4.25 cubic miles hollowed out underground. So
that's big.
4.25. I don't know. I guess 4.25 cubic miles. Yeah, that's pretty big.
I looked up the. I simply searched that 4.25 cubic miles. And I got the conversion for U.S. liquid gallon. Cubic mile to liquid gallon.
Hmm.
not what I wanted.
Well, you know why? No. You got gallons? because he mentions these boring machines we talked about in the Dumbs episode.
All right.
He says they melt the rock with sophisticated lasers. It reduces the rock to a powder, and then they melt that to use as a coating for the walls of the facility. So gunite is not needed.
Man.
So, gallons of melted rock.
All right, it's all coming together. Yeah. So if I don't know, a cubic mile, it sounds like a volume, which I guess is what it is because it's underground. But to compare that to a flat area, 4 1/4 square miles, we don't have any vertical, but 4 1/4 square miles is 2,720 acres. That's kind of big.
Yeah.
Because my house is only on 1/4 of 1 acre.
That's more than I got, brother.
So your whole neighborhood and the entire town you live in would be down there. It could fit down there. 2,000 acres?
No.
You don't think so?
No, the place I work is 5,000 acres.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
So half of that could fit down there.
That's a lot. That is a lot. That place is huge.
Down in the Dulce underground. Well, was that just the one level?
Was he says they built 9 underground military bases.
Totaling?
The size of cities, roughly 4 1/4 cubic miles hollowed out underground.
Oh, so per base.
Maybe that's all the levels. I really don't know.
Regardless, there is a lot of hole down there. And they put a lot of stuff in this hole.
Yeah.
Do you have when that base was actually constructed?
Yeah, so I did find, I guess it's an interview with an ex-security officer there.
Okay.
And the very first question is, when exactly was the upper human occupied level of the Archuleta installation constructed, which is Dulce.
Okay.
And the answer is, I heard Dulce was started in 1937 or 1938 by the Army engineers, enlarged over the years. Most recent work was completed 1965 to 1966 to connect tunnels to the Page, Arizona base.
So that was, 1937, that was before World War I began, and that was well before the U.S. was even involved in World War II. So going by that, with those numbers, that means this base was not an answer to a nuclear fallout. This was before that thought.
Yeah, I mean, it was still 10 years before Roswell.
Yeah, so it's been there for a while.
It kind of brings into question, well, I don't know if I want to mention it quite yet, but maybe they disturbed an alien civilization when they originally built this area.
Ooh.
And then 10 years later, you have Roswell. I don't know. It's a little bit strange, right?
Yeah, because this place was established in, it was founded, Dulce, New Mexico, was founded in 1877.
Really?
Yes.
And that was just the area, not...
Correct. That's when they said, okay, here's our flag. This is now Dulce.
Okay, so they didn't have a base there or anything.
No. Okay. Nothing like that. That's when they put the marker on the map. You know, put a post office in and stuff like that.
Did you say 1877?
1877, yeah.
So then what, 60 years later, they're already building underground?
Seems kind of quick, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
Around this, the original homestead was founded in 1877 by Jose Eugenio Gomez, and the Jicarilla Apache Reservation was established in 1887 when the Apache people were forced into a reservation. So, right in that same area. But I just saw something else that said, the Dulce Base in New Mexico. Dulce is a small town in northern New Mexico located above 7,000 feet on the Jicarilla Apache Indian Reservation. That's a weird sentence. It's a small town in northern New Mexico. located. It's just north of the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Only 7,000 feet north of the reservation? That's not far.
No, it seems very close.
Like a mile and a little bit. So only one major motel and a few stores. It's not a resort town, and it's not bustling with activity. The base, what I'm getting here, the base is below the brush of Archuleta Mesa. Did you read that?
Yeah, I said it's below the Archuleta Mesa.
Should we say what they do there, or should we say how Phil Schneider discovered it first? Did he discover it?
No, he didn't discover it. He was part of the Groom Lake crew, which is Area 51, or right around Area 51.
Okay.
And then he got recruited to help build Dulce. He was part of it. And then August of 1979, southwest of that, of Dulce, they were beginning construction on another underground site. And they were drilling holes up to 2.5 miles deep.
That's so crazy.
That's when the equipment kept coming up broken.
Ah, here we go. I know this story.
Yeah, they decided to send someone down there and see what was going on.
And our hero went down there.
Yeah.
Did he go by himself? He didn't go by himself, did he?
No, but he... So, in the speech, he doesn't mention who he went down with. Not initially.
Okay.
So apparently there were Green Berets on this site. So he thought, that's a little strange. But he does claim that the government knew about this all along. They just didn't tell him.
Oh, so his theory is the government knew about what was about in the area, and they were just building this base that was super duper close to what could be in this area.
Yeah. So apparently... According to him, the large Greys have been encamped there for the better part of 400 or 500 years in underground bases.
400 or 500 years. So 400 years before. What year was this that he was doing that?
In 79.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's when that went down.
Yeah, so what, 1579?
Yeah. So did we make it that far across yet? Like Lewis and Clark, because Chris Columbus came in 1492 and stuff. Then we started exploring. I don't know when Lewis and Clark started heading across, because they made the journey from East Coast to West Coast, just for the hell of it.
Yeah, why not? I would.
That was some... They had some bad times.
Yeah, they did.
I don't think they went through the New Mexico, this New Mexico area, though. So, I don't know what year that was, but if those Greys were there in the 1500s, that means they've been there a long-ass time.
Well, I mean, it was what, 100 years after Columbus, right?
Yeah.
1492, that would have been 1595.
Yeah.
At 400 years. At 500 years, it would have been before Columbus.
True. That's how he got here. He was following the lights in the sky.
He does, did you see that? He does mention seeing UFOs.
I just saw that here recently, in the last couple of weeks, that there's something that said Columbus saw something.
Yeah. It's really strange, man.
So
it's really strange.
If there were some Greys just bebopping through the sky in the late 1400s, there's no reason why they couldn't have just got all the way over to the West Coast, well, real close to the West Coast, and kind of settled there.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, he says the large Greys have been encamped there.
Oh, okay. Aren't they the...
They're like 7 foot tall, 8 foot tall. So there's a couple different theories. The large Greys created the small Greys as drones.
Uh-huh.
I think there's another one that says the Anunnaki created the small Greys as drones.
Which also kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, the large Greys and... The Dracos, the reptilians, they don't get along, right?
I would say not.
I think it's something like that, that those groups kind of fight with each other. But I think they have the same level of nefariousness.
Towards us.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, I mean, the reptilians, would you call them the Dracos?
Yeah.
Well, you know, whatever you call it. They're allegedly the original inhabitants of this planet, right? I mean, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, allegedly.
So, if the large greys come in, naturally they're going to be enemies. I'm like, yo, dude, what are you doing? Landing on my planet? Get the fuck out of here.
This is our territory.
Yeah. Just crazy shit. Like, you're going to hate the people who land on your planet trying to take over, too.
I know I hated the people that was trying to walk in my yard when I was a kid.
Yeah.
This is my property.
Yeah. Get out of here. You throw a rock at them?
Yeah, hell yeah, we did. Sticks and stuff.
Damn right. You pulled out your AR-15?
I'm not me.
Oh, no.
They stepped back when that happened.
So Phil says they apparently drilled holes right into the bases.
Right in their damn house.
The holes they were drilling down, boom, right into the alien bases.
Right in our house, man.
Black soot started to pour out.
See, I'd be mad too if somebody just all of a sudden just drilled a hole in my roof.
Yeah, shit, now when it rains, you got water coming in.
Right. I mean, what's the atmosphere down there?
Hey, you bastards. You had the thermostat set at a perfect 55 degrees?
No, then these humans had to come down here with their big machines. Big ass drill. You know what we're going to do with those drills? We're going to knock those drills out.
Yep. We're going to keep shutting them down.
That one, and that one, and that one. Here's another one. Shut them down. Oh, now they're going to send somebody down after us. Here we go.
Yeah, so apparently Phil was lowered down in one of the holes in a basket to find out, like, yo, why do these machines keep shutting down? So they said, you know what, Phil? Go check it out. Because he was a geologist and also an engineer.
This part of the story kind of baffles me. Like, they are drilling down. How big is this drill? See, when I think drill, I'm like, oh, it's a little bit. It's only, you know, 1 inch wide at the most. Maybe three, if you're getting crazy. Or if you're drilling for oil, it's a foot, maybe.
Yeah.
A couple of feet, maybe. This dude goes down in a basket? What kind of hole did they dig?
Dude, they have all kinds of stuff we don't even know about. That's probably a huge drill.
A vertical one. I know they got that subterranean thing. I think that's the thing you were talking about that has, it just, I think this one is more like a horizontal vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls out the rock and then it grinds up the rock and superheats the rock and then it forms the walls.
Yeah.
On the back end of it.
How genius is that?
That's freaking crazy. Isn't that what worms do, kind of? Like, worms will burrow through loose soil, and then with all their secretions, they kind of, I don't know if they leave the hole open, but it's sort of, it doesn't crush them when they're going through the hole. That's what I mean.
Oh, is that why they're so slimy?
I don't know.
I wonder.
So it kind of keeps that little hole open, so it's not crushing them as they're going through.
Yeah. So they just always have to back out. Isn't that bullshit? You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine you drive somewhere, but then you got to back all the way home?
That would kind of suck. Then you would need to have your front on both ends.
Yeah.
Like the worms do. They're like, okay, who's driving today? Oh, God, she's driving today. All right.
It's like every one of our moms, we always thought they had eyes in the back of their head. I guess not on their butts.
But on the back of their head.
Yeah, a worm would have eyes on his butt.
They have both reproductive parts on the one worm.
Oh, I thought you were talking about moms. I was like, what? I don't think so.
Moms just reproduce asexually. It's got to be a mom thing. First they become the mom, and then they become asexual reproducers. It's a whole thing. My God, where are we? Okay, we're getting lower down the basket.
Yeah, so he gets down there, and he comes almost face-to-face with a 7-foot-tall alien gray that smelled, quote-unquote, worse than the worst garbage can you can imagine. Well, that's rude. You just met somebody new.
Ooh,
don't tell him to stink.
Exactly. Dude, you smell like what comes out of my ass.
Yeah. Why do you stink so bad? He's like,
and Phil's like, oh shit, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, immediately he reaches for his Walther PPK pistol with a 9-shot magazine, and he killed two of them bastards.
He's not playing around. He's like, this is wrong. I'm killing this.
He specifies in this speech or whatever you want to call it. He says, yes, they are mortal and they do die.
There ain't no gods here.
Mm-mm.
They do bleed.
Maybe he said, kill them all, let God sort them out.
That's fine. That's fine. When you encounter somebody like that, I don't know what I would do. What would you do? I mean, he just...
If I saw a 7-foot tall gray...
And you had to happen to have your Walther PPK on you?
Yo, I'm fine. I gotta be honest with you. I think I'm firing that bitch ASAP. I'm not taking any chances because I don't know what that thing can do. Maybe it can control my mind. I don't know.
But then, what did they do? The ones that were left standing.
Well, he says in the process of this, one of them began to make like a motion like he was rubbing his belly or his chest.
Meat's back on the menu, boys.
Yeah. And then next thing he knew, a blue beam, it was like some electrical force, hit him. And in his words, open me up like a fish.
It came out of the being itself?
Out of his chest.
I thought they had ray guns or something.
According to him, no. He like did this like this rubbing motion. You know, like when you rub your belly, pat your head? He did like that sort of thing, but like on his chest.
He's warming it up. He's warming it up with his right hand, and then he's going to hit the fire button on his head.
Yeah.
Bam!
It's like Raiden from Mortal Kombat. Just shooting electrical beams out.
I don't even know what he says. Hello.
He says this, not only did it open him up like a fish, which I'm not, like, did it cut you, like, it gutted you?
Yeah.
Because, like, I think when you open a fish, you cut from butthole to neck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it cut him like a fish, opened him up like a fish, it also burned his fingers off, zoom.
Which hand?
His left hand, right? I believe it's his left hand.
Did you just contradict yourself? His left hand, right.
Oh. It burned his toenails off.
What?
Yep, toenails gone.
What, did they not have safety precautions back in this time? Like, where were his steel toe boots?
Well, I don't know, but it burned his shoe off.
Whole shoe. And yeah, his nails.
Shoe was gone, toenails were gone, his fucking fingers were gone.
On his left hand.
I believe it's his left hand, yeah. He didn't specify which hand, but I was watching his speech.
Yeah.
Like I said, guys, this speech is
old.
You can watch it. It's not entertaining. He's talking, and it looks like his left hand, unless there's some weird camera shit.
Is it like his pinky ring in middle?
No, it's his index, middle. I think it might be index and middle.
Well, that was, dude, that was on purpose. They wanted to make him like them.
Three finger.
Yeah, because that's all you really need, right? You just need a couple of regular fingers and the opposable.
Yeah, like a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, exactly, like a Ninja Turtle.
I think 5's too much. I'm going to cut mine off now.
Break time, break! We are returned. Welcome to the show. It is a weird one.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
So there we were. Phil Schneider went down that basket. Whatever that means. Gondola? Something like that. Just imagine that. Imagine he went down. He floated down from the hole that they dug. And suddenly, bang, bang, bang! Shot out some aliens. And then another alien was doing that cool party trick where you rub your belly and you pat your head at the same time. All of a sudden it was crazy. And there goes. You got... opened up like a fish, and his part of his hand got blown away.
Toenails, his shoe.
Was this one blast?
Yeah.
Was it like scattered or what?
I don't know. He said it was like a bolt of lightning.
So, if it was a bolt of lightning, that means the way electricity works, it travels through your body and it bursts out the path of least resistance. That's how that goes. But however this happened. Regardless, he lost a couple of fingers. He got burned on his chest, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, right? If the 7-foot tall is rubbing his chest. He shoots it straight out at you. It's going to hit you.
In the chest area. So maybe...
chest area. Higher.
If Phil's right hand... yeah, true. Higher. So how in the hell did it get his toes?
Well, maybe it shoot. Maybe it goes down. Like lightning. Maybe it goes out as soon as it hits a body. It goes down. To the ground.
And it blew off his toenails.
Pew! Like, do you think any of the aliens got, like, toenails in their eyes? They're like, ah! Like, toenail shrapnel. Because, I mean, it blasted a shoe off.
They got some loafer and toenail shrapnel.
I don't know.
What did he do after this? That was exciting.
He said he was laying there, and he just saw, like, smoke coming off his body. He's like, I mean, he just got blasted by a bolt of lightning.
Right. That's a little bit of a shocker.
Yeah, and then Green Beret.
See what I did there?
Who ended up dying in battle that day, saved his life by throwing him back in the basket and hitting the button to take him back to the surface.
Oh, he's a hero. And Phil didn't get his name.
No, he didn't.
Damn it, Phil. Come on.
I mean, he was just gutted, had his toenails blasted off. He's missing two or three fingers. I didn't count. I don't know. Are you going to stop and say, yo, what's your name, bud?
Go back for some dog tags or something.
He says that 66 Secret Service agents, Green Berets and Black Berets and the like, lost their lives because the government lied by not telling us anything about the alien threat.
Well, that's what the tunnels were for, so that you could dig down and have better access to them. Right. Right. That's what we're going to say, right?
Who's going to say that? Not the government.
Well, they're not going to say it out loud, but that was the idea. No?
And he claims there's been a war going on underground ever since that day.
That was in 1979.
Yeah, and he was talking about this in 1995.
And the war continues.
It continued then. I don't know if it continues now. I mean, he goes on to do, like, he mentions there's 11 different alien races. Two are benevolent. And then, in quotes, 9 look at humans as nothing more than a bag of food. They don't eat the flesh and bones. They use the glandular secretions as a mixture of the vitamins for their food. They get high off of our adrenal gland. It's called adrenal chrome. It's something like cocaine to them.
Why don't we just give them a big bag of coke?
That's a good question. That kind of sucks.
Listen, guys, we got what you need. It's fine.
Yeah.
Here's an 8-ball. Relax.
Al Pacino. Send Al Pacino to give it to him. Okay.
This is what we're going to do.
It kind of sucks, though. Only 2 out of 11 are benevolent.
Yeah.
9 want to kill us and eat us and get high off of us?
Are one of those 2 the drones that are the small grays?
That are benevolent?
Yeah.
No. One are the Venusians.
Venusians.
I assume. And the Pleiadians.
They're cool, right?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Oh, boy. Here we go. That was way back in episode 5 or 6. Alleged aliens, friend or foe.
Yeah.
There was one. Was it the Pleiadians that took over the mind of some lady somewhere? Like, they channel through her.
I think so. And then Corey Good was contacted by the Blue Avians, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Speaking of, like, the good ones and the bad ones and stuff, during the speech, he holds up a picture of Valiant Thor. Remember we talked about Valiant Thor?
Yeah.
Yeah, he claims he'd been working with the U.S. Pentagon since 1937 or 1938. He couldn't remember. And he had not changed because Valiant Thor says his lifespan is 450 years.
Dang, dude.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then he has... So he was just down there chilling with everybody else or what? He's like, man, look, I know. You got scared and you started firing away. Then they started firing. I get it. It's fine. That's just what everybody does. But I'm here to talk through this.
He's not saying Valiant Thor was there. He's just saying... I think he's just trying to make his case.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, like, I know Valiant Thor. Here's a picture of him. So, Schneider claims to have actually met Valiant Thor and says he's a remarkable person.
Person?
Exactly. In my notes, literally in my notes, I wrote, why would he say he's a remarkable person? Is there a Freudian slip? Or is it just easier to call him a person because he looks human?
I didn't think he looked human, though. Did he?
A little bit. He had like a purplish hue to him. He had like a real square jaw. Like he was like, he would be like a good looking dude on Earth. I mean, minus the purple.
Like the Grinning Man.
What?
The Grinning Man. He showed up right before the Mothman.
Not the Grinning Man.
Not burning. Grinning.
I know. Not. That's what I said.
Yeah, but he's like this dude. He's just I guess. No, I don't know.
No, what was his name?
The Grinning Man?
No, it wasn't the Grinning Man. It was right around the Mothman time.
The guy who went cruising around a galaxy with his dude?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Oh, man.
He just got in with this dude because he was like this cool, slick cat.
Yeah. He's like, all right, I'll hop in.
Let's go.
Yeah. He doesn't know if he's going to get murdered. He doesn't know if he's going to get raped. He doesn't know if he's going to get injected with some kind of new drug.
And his wife's just like, sometimes he's gone for weeks at a time.
Sometimes he does that. He just gets in cars with random people. And it flies off.
Flies off. To the stars.
I thought it was a Cadillac, but next thing I knew, it was zoom. It was gone.
Cadillac gone. Anyway, Phil, this didn't turn out well for Phil at all after this.
It didn't? Surely he's still around talking about this, right?
Well, after it, but his health started getting bad. Is that what you got?
Before we get quite there, so he says, like, I guess the aliens, they all wear, like a spacesuit type thing.
All right.
Because they have a disease in them or on them that is deadly to us. So then he goes on to question, this is quotes, how do we not know that some of our diseases like AIDS and Ebola are not made from the cadavers of some of these aliens as a biological weapon?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I love that question. That's a great point. How do we not know that?
Oh, man. So they infect us by way of their death or us opening them up and dissecting them.
Not intentionally. He's saying, like, how do we know that the government didn't know this, and they took the disease, and they're like, you know what? Let's spread this AIDS shit.
Let's just see what it does.
Maybe they knew what it did. They've been wanting to reduce the world's population for decades.
Well, they suck at it.
Well, okay, so let me run through this stuff real quick before we hit Dulce.
All right.
So he talks to the crowd. He's like, you know what? I know a lot of you, you're probably skeptical. I can't say it. So he talks to the crowd. He's like, you know what? I know a lot of this is hard to believe. You're probably skeptical.
Skeptical.
Yeah. So then he goes over to the table and picks up some what he calls carbamite, element 140. And he says it's the heaviest element in the world. He claims when combined with alien compounds, nothing goes through it. It can withstand temperatures of 10 million degrees Fahrenheit.
What? That's hot.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, you know what? Let me look up this carbamite. I got to find more on this. So I tried looking it up. All I could find is that it was a metal in a Star Trek episode called The Carbamite Maneuver, which aired November 10th, 1966. So this was that aired in 1966.
Okay.
Well before this speech. Is it soft disclosure? Maybe. Bullshit? More likely.
Soft disclosure. I like that term.
You like all kinds of soft things.
Like fries, nuggets. They're soft. Bread. Bread's soft. Cookies. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about anything else.
So what made me think I got to keep going on this guy.
Go, go, go.
When we were talking about diseases, he goes on to mention the alien agenda, which is a complete takeover of this planet, the annihilation of 5/6 to 7/8 of the world's population by 2029. That's 0.833 to 0.875 of the world's population.
Man. If you did not pass math class, well, Just skip this part.
So, is it possible? Hear me out. Is it possible the coronavirus is part of this plan? Oh, we're not too goodness, far dude. From 2029.
Dude, think it really take 9 years to spread that across the whole world?
They're only looking to take out 5/6 to 7/8, dude. It started in China. That's going to take out 3/4 of it.
Yeah, being over there in those far eastern China, and then it's not a far travel to India, where even more of a density of population is.
Yeah. So, is it possible?
That's
2020, scary. 2029. Maybe it's just the start.
It's early. It came early.
Maybe this will take out a third.
The coronavirus? The Kong flu?
I don't know, man. It's so weird.
You're scary, Zeph.
He said this in 95, dude. He didn't say this in 2017.
It was no Y2K thing. Like, anybody can just put a number on a zero decade. 2029.
To take out a large portion of the population.
Of the Earth.
And then now we have coronavirus.
That's just rampaging.
Spreading like crazy. Taking people out. China is bullshitting like a motherfucker about what it's doing over there.
No. You ever play the game Plague Inc.?
I love that game. Yeah.
You know how hard it is to get into Greenland. Dude, we got to move to Greenland.
I'm pretty sure Greenland and New Zealand, if one of these like super volcano, or no, if, is it nuclear war or super volcano, whatever, they go off, that's the best places to be.
Greenland or New Zealand?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, New Zealand is just off the coast of South America, isn't it?
No. Australia, dude.
It's off the coast of Australia.
Yeah.
But it's on the America side, right?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Mandela, you know.
Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there. Sometimes there's an island next to it, sometimes there's not. Wasn't there, it was in, we probably talked about this, Dazed and Confused, there was an island to the, if you're looking at the globe, to the west of Australia, there's a big-ass island, and now it's not there.
Yeah, we talked about this, because I kept saying, no, east, dude, east. You're like, the west? I'm like, oh yeah, west.
Anyway, Phil Schneider, all messed up.
Yeah. He claims he was one of three people who escaped Dulce alive.
Who are the other people? Because
apparently they're in Canada in nursing homes, and they're not allowed to talk to anyone.
Naturally.
However, according to the Dulce papers, 66 humans were killed, which is what he said, and 44 escaped.
What?
Yeah.
According to him, 44 escaped, but according to somebody else, there's only three.
No, according to him, he was one of three.
Oh.
According to the papers, the Dulce papers, not the newspapers, 44 escaped. I gotta, look, I know we're not at the end. I gotta question my man's reputability.
Yeah.
He goes over to the table, he's like, look at this, carbamite, the heaviest thing in the universe, the galaxy, on the Earth. I'm like, yo, dude, that was on Star Trek.
13 years ago. What's the matter with you?
No, not 13 years ago. This was 95 he talked about this.
Oh, it was like 30 years before that.
Yeah.
Did it have, well, maybe it is a soft disclosure like you said, but did it have the same properties on Star Trek as he's talking about?
You know, I don't know. I looked it up. I saw it was on Star Trek. It was, you know, so I didn't watch the episode. So I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But it's not on the periodic table as element 140.
So he says. He said it was element 140?
Yeah, he said it's 140.
Uh-huh.
But Bob Lazar said 115 existed way before they said, oh, yeah, yep, that's real.
So what I have after he was hit with this, whatever the hell it was, from the aliens, this crazy ass blast thing.
Raiden.
Finish him. He didn't finish him. He messed him up real good. But after that, he got some... It resulted in cancer due to the radiation of whatever hit him.
Really?
Yeah, he got a... He was real bad off. You said his interview was in 95.
The conference or whatever.
Okay. So in 1987, he married Cynthia Marie Dreyer Simon, because it's cool to have all those names. They met in 86, and then they got married. Cynthia mentioned years later that Phil had so many interesting stories and so much information to share. Unfortunately, their marriage had difficulties. Cynthia claimed that Phil's health problems contributed to their breakup. Phil had multiple health concerns, such as chronic lower back pain and multiple sclerosis. I mean, and no doubt to getting blasted by said alien.
Yeah.
Occasionally, Phil had to use crutches, a body brace, leg braces, bladder bag, catheter, diapers, and wheelchair. He also had osteoporosis and cancer in his arms, as well as hundreds of shrapnel wounds, a plate in his head with a metal fragment in his brain, and fingers missing from his left hand. So it was his left hand.
My God.
Dude was messed up.
What a mess.
There was a scar that ran down from the top of his throat to below his belly button, and another scar that ran from under his ribs side to side. So, dude got messed up. Phil had numerous amazing stories, and one of his stories was his father's involvement with the Philadelphia experiment. When Phil's father died in 93, he discovered original letters in his basement that proved that the Philadelphia experiment actually happened. It also proved that Oscar Schneider had been a participant after the crew members had been quarantined in Virginia's psychiatric ward. Captain Schneider autopsied the bodies of the crew members as they died and found alien implants in their arms, legs, behind their ears, and deep inside their brain.
Whoa. The Philadelphia experiment, people?
That's what I'm seeing right here.
They had alien implants.
Before they went through the experiment? Or they didn't see this until after when they did the autopsies?
Was the Philadelphia experiment meant to... They're like, screw it. Send them back to where they came from. Send these people with the implants back to the aliens.
Oh, man. That's some serious speculation there.
Yeah. Maybe they weren't trying to cloak it. Maybe they're trying to zoom, send it back.
The implants had to have been alien in nature, and the small transistor-like item was discovered before transistors had been invented. Ah, see? Here was evidence that either by accident or on purpose, aliens were involved with the Philadelphia experiment and may have been responsible for its failure. It won't be any cloaking or teleporting from you guys.
Hmm.
Despite the fact that Phil's claims seemed too wild or disturbing to be true to the average investigator, he believed in what he was saying. Phil claimed his wife was in danger for revealing the truth. He borrowed a gun from his friend, Ron Utella, stating that he felt that he needed protection because there had been several attempts on his life. For example, his car had been run off the road several times. Ultimately, Phil's safeguards weren't enough to keep himself alive. He was found dead on either January 10th or 11th, 1996. And Cynthia was a little speculative.
Well, he mentioned in that speech that just, I guess, 2 weeks before that speech, he got shot in the left shoulder.
Really?
Yeah, he mentions they've been trying to kill him.
Was it in that speech that he said that, I am not going to kill myself. If you find me dead, then it was not by my own hands.
No, it wasn't in that speech.
But that he said that at some point. I'm not going to kill myself. If you find me dead by suicide, it was not me.
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe I heard that about him too, yeah.
So Cynthia wasn't sure about this supposed suicide. While examining Phil's body, Cynthia couldn't shake that something was off. Cynthia was soon contacted by Detective Randy Harris, who said that something was wrong because there were marks on Phil's neck. An autopsy report revealed that a rubber hose was tied around Phil's neck 3 times and then tied in a knot, which blocked blood flow to his head, resulting in him becoming unconscious and then dying. There was no way he could have done that himself. First of all, he was missing fingers from his left hand. Dude was all messed up. He was wheelchair bound. I'm assuming he could get in and out of bed, but he could barely use the bathroom himself. So his body was messed up. There was no way he could tie this thing around his neck three times and then tie it in a knot. This was a rubber hose, a tube, which it doesn't say it here, but it was a catheter. So he strangled himself with his own catheter? Dude, come on.
You would have to tie that thing tight, dude.
Yeah. No. There was no way he did it himself. But what had to have happened was, if they were even trying to make this look like it was a suicide, they would have to tie it around his neck and then lean him forward away from it. Tie it somewhere.
Yeah.
Where it was hooked.
Well, that's like all the quote-unquote suicides where they were shot three times in the head.
That doesn't even remotely make sense.
Like, okay, maybe you missed the first time. You didn't quite get that kill shot for your suicide. The second time, look, I think if I were gonna do it, I go first time I miss. I'm like, oh shit, that hurts. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, that hurts real bad.
Yeah, I'm not trying two more times.
No. Hell no. So this dude was wheelchair bound. He had a catheter in. He was scarred from head to toe, practically. Missing fingers. There was no way he strangled himself with his own catheter.
I wouldn't think so.
More surprising was that Cynthia discovered that Phil's lecture material, unknown medals, military photographs, and all notes for his unwritten book on UFOs were missing from his apartment. However, money and valuables remained untouched, and when he was found in his apartment, Phil's body was in an unusual position. His feet were under the bed, his head was in a wheelchair seat at an unusual angle, and the rest of his body was on the floor, hands by his side. Blood was found on the floor near his wheelchair, but no blood was found on his wheelchair. No wounds were on his body to account for the blood. No suicide note was ever found.
Yo, this dude was suicided.
Totally.
100%.
Just from that paragraph alone.
Yes.
None of that indicates that he did this himself. Where'd that blood come from? None of it was his.
No, he fought back.
Yeah.
He fell out of his chair and then they killed him.
And then they made it look like he strangled himself. Strangled himself. Hung himself?
Yeah, with his own wiener drain.
You can't do that. Look, I've never had a catheter, and man, I dread the day whenever that might come to pass.
I had one.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was, 15? I had alcohol poisoning.
Yikes.
I was a bad kid when I was younger. And, I remember... They said, all right, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to pull this out. I didn't know. I don't know if I was still drunk or what. I didn't know what was going on.
True.
I was like, all right, whatever. Do what you got to do. I said, one, two. They pulled it out, and, dude, it felt like they ripped everything out of my insides. I went, It hurt so bad.
So unless Mr. Schneider was on some sort of crazy amount of painkillers, you're not just going to readily pull that thing out of yourself.
He could have had an extra one.
Just an extra?
Well, I mean, they do that now. You can buy, like, catheter tubes, and they come in, like, a box or whatever. They get shipped to your house, and...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen commercials for them.
Does it come on right after the M-gality, or what?
Yeah, I'm watching weird daytime TV, dude.
Paid programming. Phil's ex-wife believes he was murdered. She believes that Phil was met by someone he knew and injected with a drug in order to incapacitate him. The assailants then wrapped a rubber hose around his neck, asphyxiating him. Several friends told Cynthia that they saw Phil with an unknown blonde-haired woman several weeks before he died. Several times, this same individual was seen or talked about, and her mysterious presence leads one to wonder if she had anything to do with his quote-unquote suicide. Several people with psychic abilities have indicated that Philip did not commit suicide but was murdered.
I think he was for sure murdered.
There's a lot that leads to him not killing himself.
He says in this speech in 95, he said, "I'm breaking federal law right now talking to you people."
That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be murdered. That should mean that if he's breaking a federal law, he should go to a court of his peers and be judged for his wrongdoings.
Yes, a normal federal law, yes.
A normal but one.
They can't take him to court for this because then it validates what he's saying.
Yes,
it does. They kill him, quote unquote kill him, if they get rid of him, if they terminate him, then he's gone. They don't have to worry about it anymore. There's no court proceedings.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what happens to all these people, dude. That's what happened to Epstein before he was able to out everybody.
They got rid of him.
I mean, yeah, Epstein was a piece of shit.
Pseudocide.
But he was going to out all the other people who were involved in it, and they said, you know what? Not happening.
Nah.
Kill him.
Was Schneider the one that told us about all the levels, or was that somebody else for Dulce? Because we need to get into those, because we're getting deep into this episode. We need to finish this up.
He might have. I didn't even go through all my notes. I stopped about halfway to three quarters of the way through his speech. So he might have mentioned it.
What I have for just level one is just simple garage for street maintenance. Just level one, nothing crazy, security and communications, just simple stuff. And level two, garage for trains, shuttles, tunnel boring machines, and disc maintenance.
Why would they keep that on level two if it's seven levels deep?
The flying machines? Well, they gotta fly, dude. Come on.
The tunnel boring machines.
Only on level two?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta go down five more levels just to get to more levels. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. There was one map that I saw. It seemed like boring machines were somewhere else. Maybe they just park them on level two.
Oh, the picture I'm looking at shows the... Oh, no, that's elevators. I thought it was excavators.
Uh-oh.
My bad.
All right. Level three. Everyone is weighed in the nude, then given a jumpsuit uniform.
Perverts.
The weight of the person is put on a computer ID card each day. Change in over 3 pounds requires a physical exam and x-ray. It's a little intense.
I mean, if you gain 3 pounds overnight, you should be checked out.
Or if you lose 3 pounds overnight,
yeah,
that's a lot of calories you're not eating. So that's fine. That's okay. But then...
It all seems normal.
I mean, normal enough. I mean, it's okay. And then level four. Human research in paranormal areas, mental telepathy, mind control, hypnosis, remote viewing, astral traveling, etc. The technology is apparently here to allow them to know how to manipulate the bioplasmic body development of a laser weapon that can remotely cause burns and discomfort on its target. They can lower your heartbeat with deep sleep delta waves, induce a static shock, then reprogram via a brain-computer link.
What?
That happens in level four. Manipulation of the bioplasmic body. Talking about nanotech, biotech, micromachines, Cywar, electronic dissolution of memory.
MK Ultra.
Yes, that happens on level four of Dulce.
Jeez, dude.
Ultrasonics, optical, and other forms of EM radiation. Here's level five for you. Security is severe. Armed guards patrol constantly. In addition to weight-sensitive areas, there are handprint and eyeprint stations. Here is the device that powers the transfer of atoms. The Dulce complex is said to be a joint U.S. government/alien base. Alien housing is level five. Since 1980, a report claims that at least 18,000 aliens occupy Dulce base. 18,000. Here's level six. Level six is privately called Nightmare Hall.
Yeah.
It holds the genetic labs, experiments done on fish, seals, birds, and mice that are vastly altered from their original forms. Whew. Private subterranean bioterminal park with accommodations for animals, fish, fowl, reptile, mankind. Personnel who have seen bizarre experimentation on this level have nicknamed it Nightmare Hall and have reported, I have seen multi-legged humans that look like half-human, half-octopus, also reptilian humans, and furry creatures that have hands like humans and cries like a baby. It mimics human words, also huge mixture of lizard-human in cages. There are fish, seals, birds, and mice that can barely be considered those species. There are several cages and vats of winged humanoids, grotesque bat-like creatures, but 3.5 to 7 feet tall, gargoyle-like beings, and Draco reptoids.
That's a huge difference, 3.5 to 7 feet tall.
The bat-like creatures. So you can go 3.5 foot tall bat to a 7 foot tall bat.
Is that where coronavirus comes from there, right? Bat-like creatures, bat
oh
soup.
Oh my god, dude. They brought it right out of level 7, a level dude, 6.
I'm telling you. I told you earlier, coronavirus was brought on by the U.S. government from the aliens. Here we go. Full circle.
Level 7 has row after row of thousands of humans and human mixtures in cold storage. Here, too, are embryo storage vats of humanoids in various stages of development. I frequently encountered humans in cages, usually dazed or drugged, but sometimes they cried and begged for help. We were told they were hopelessly insane and involved in a high-risk drug test to cure insanity. We were told to never try to speak to them at all. At the beginning, we believed that story. Finally, in 1978, a small group of workers discovered the truth. It began the Dulce Wars.
That ties in with what Phil said. Phil said.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Phil Schneider, Phil Shed.
So the Dulce Wars began in 78, which was 1 year before Phil got down that hole.
Yeah.
So they just sent this geologist over to dig this hole so they can flank the aliens?
I don't know. I don't know if that was the plan. I mean, maybe the government wasn't involved in this at all. Maybe it was a military thing. And the government wasn't fully aware of where they were going to be. Or maybe the government didn't fully know where all the bases were.
Oh, they just started digging.
Yeah, they just started digging and they accidentally dug right into this one.
And we could probably get into the Dulce Wars, but we should probably end this one.
Yeah, we've been going for a while. Now you guys know what Phil Schneider is all about. You know what Dulce is all about. Well, not all about, but you know what we told you.
Yeah.
We don't know what it's all about.
Take that how you want it. It's insane. Tell us what you feel. BringOnTheWeird@gmail.com.
Yeah, are you from the area? Have you seen UFOs? Have you seen a Bigfoot? Have you seen anything weird?
Dulce, New Mexico. We need some Dulcians? Is that what you call people from Dulce?
I don't know.
I want to know that too. At the very least, that's what I want to know.
Okay.
Hit us up on Twitter. Twitter.com/BringOnTheWeird. Facebook.com/BringOnTheWeird. Visit our store. tpublic.com/user/BringOnTheWeird.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we're going to end on that note.
Yeah, that's that, man.
Stay weird, world.
And we'll see you guys next time.